Sounds really to me. I love that song, but rejoice in the Lord. You make no mistakes. You know, and this isn't part of my message, but, you know, if you're going through it today, just keep rejoicing in the Lord. You know, he knows what you're going through. He knows what heartache. You know, I preach a lot of that on Sunday morning. You just need to keep on rejoicing in the Lord. And but if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We're going to read verses 40 through 44 of Acts chapter 27. Verse 40 through 44. And let us stand for the reading of the Word of God at this time. Acts chapter 27, 40 through 44. I'll read the first verse and you read the second, and I'll read the third, and so on. We will read it responsively. Acts 27, verses 40, right on down through to 44. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast, and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them could swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they should cast themselves first into the sea, and get to land. Verse 44 together, and the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped, safe to land. Heavenly Father, we do love you, and again we thank you for this time. We come to your book. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll give me strength, give me clarity. Speak through me this morning, speak through your servant. May it be said only what you want said this morning. I pray, God, that you'll work on hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go ahead. Paul was a prisoner. He was to be sent to Rome and come before Caesar. So their means of travel was to set sail by ship to Italy. On this journey, there was a storm brewing. Just the storm before the storm, if you will, wasn't serious, but the winds, the Bible says back in verse 4, were contrary. Storm was brewing, and at first it didn't seem too unsafe for travel. But as time went on, the winds did become more contrary. And as more time went on, it seemed that travel was becoming more and more dangerous. Paul, this aged missionary, he was on this journey, obviously. Paul, with his godly wisdom, he told the shipmates in verse number 10. I'm going to read verse number 10 of 27. And he said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading in ship, but also to our lives." Paul, being a godly man that he was, he told the shipmates that this voyage is going to be very dreadful. I know I'm not a shipmate. I know I'm not a captain of a ship, but I'm going to just highly recommend that we may want to go ahead and just cease this voyage, stay put until the storm ends. Of course, the scripture says that the centurion believed not Paul. He did not listen and believed the owner and master of the ship. You know, when the man of God speaks, and listen, I'm not much, but I'm all you got this morning, but you know, the truth of the matter is we ought to learn to get back to listening to the preaching of the Word of God. You know, we ought to learn to get back to when authority, I mean, let's even go a step further, godly authority comes and tries to steer you into the right direction. It would do you a whole lot of good if you do that. You know, here was a centurion, you know, the man of God, Paul went ahead and said, "Listen, guys, I don't think this is a good time for us to go. You know, the winds have been contrary, and it's not getting any better. They didn't have all the technology that we have today, but, you know, they knew, obviously, that this, he knew, obviously, this was an unsafe time to go ahead and leave. And the centurion, of course, he blocked out, if you will, the wisdom and the advice of the Apostle Paul. And he went ahead and listened to the owner and master of the ship. You see, we get in trouble when we go ahead and we block out godly advice, and we block out the godly advice from the Word of God, and when we block out the Holy Spirit leading, we do ourselves much harm when we go ahead and listen to the world and what they have to offer, and listen to the things that the world has to offer, or listen to the devil, or listen to the flesh. We talked about this morning, but it would do us good to go ahead and get back into this book. It would do us good to get back to the preaching of the Word of God, and when you come to church, I know I do, I know I'm preaching, but the truth of the matter is, I say, Lord, you speak to me when I go to church. You help me to absorb the Word of God. I need just as much what I'm preaching this morning as maybe you do this morning. And the truth of the matter is, we ought to get back to the preaching of the Word of God. We need to get back to listening to godly authority that's in our life. The voyage, of course, went on, but at the man of God, as the man of God had suspected, the Apostle Paul suspected, it got more dangerous. You see, verse number 14, I'll read a few verses here. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind. That's a wild wind, if you will, called Euroclydon. It's a Mediterranean hurricane, if you will. Very, very devastating, very, very dangerous. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. There was nothing they could do. The wind was just tossing to and fro, and there's nothing they could do, so they just went ahead and let the ship go. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing they should fall into quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. So, you know, here they are for hours on and days on end now. You know, this Euroclydon, this very dangerous Mediterranean storm, was rocking that ship of 276 people back and forth. No doubt they were feeling a little sick. I think I would be. No doubt they were feeling like a little lightheaded. And to try to help the situation, they would go ahead and try to lighten the load by casting things, the unnecessary things, over. And we exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And verse number 19, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You know, think about it, being one of these 276, no doubt there were men, there were women, there were children, maybe there was aged men on there, of them 276 souls, we know that there were some prisoners on there, they were set sail to Italy, now they were in the midst of the Mediterranean in this storm, the storm rocking back and forth. No doubt they were not feeling well. No doubt that they were feeling sick and scared. I could maybe go ahead and see moms and dads gathering their children, hovering in a corner to try to protect them. I could see the shipmates up on the deck frantically trying to take control of the ship. And I can see all havoc breaking loose here. But in verse number 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. You know, Paul, you know, I think he kind of had an attitude here. Rightly so, by the way. Paul, he said, you know, I told you so. You know, he said, you should have hearkened to me back when we were in Crete. You should have gone ahead and listened. But this man of God who loved God, this man of God who knew God, this man of God who knew that God was going to go ahead and provide in this very, very tough situation, he says, you should have hearkened to me, and we should have gone loose from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you. Okay, here's Paul. I can imagine in his heart of hearts, I'd be a little shaken up. Now he went ahead and he stepped up to the plate. I mean, I can imagine maybe he was feeling a little bit seasick. I can imagine that probably he wasn't feeling real well, but you know what? He went ahead and he took charge. He got up in the midst and he says, hey guys, shipmates, you should have listened, but let me exhort you. You know what that word exhort me builds you up. Paul, how are you going to build? Here we are. We are going to lose our life. You're going to go ahead and build us up. Hey, listen now. The Bible says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Good cheer? I mean, Paul, I mean, look at the situation we're in. I mean, be of good cheer, he says. For there, okay, and I hear the voice of Paul here. I think I can hear the voice of Paul with adamancy saying, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night, I'm talking about tonight, this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Let me tell you something, a little bit about me. You know what? I could see him kind of out there. He was in the midst of the people. The people were scared. The people were concerned. We're going to lose our life. Now here's old Paul, aged Paul, crooked back, getting up there in the midst of them, say, hey, let me exhort you. Hey, be a good cheer this morning. Hey, be a good cheer. You know what? Everything's going to be all right. Everything, we're going to get through this. Okay, I can see him with adamancy. Hey, you know what? We're going to get through it. We're going to get through this thing. You know why? Let me tell you why I believe that, he says, because the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He says, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Hey, there's a job to do. You have to go to Caesar. The Bible says here, and lo, God hath given me all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Boy, that's a powerful statement. For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Hey, let me tell you something. You may not be feeling well this morning on this ship. You may be, the storms of life may be going ahead and raging against you. You may be going through some heartache. You may be going through some sort of battle. Maybe some, you know, the whole list is long. You know what you may be going through. The heart is heavy. You don't know, again, whether I can get through another week, as we said last week. I don't know if I can get through week after week. But let me tell you something. As your preacher this morning, I believe God, and you can make it. You know what? God, everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's all right. You know what? The very God that spoke this world in existence, the very God that created every being here, you know what? Knows your need and knows your trial. And if the storm of life, if you're on that ship of your own, that life ship of yours, and you're rocking back and forth, and you maybe didn't listen to the preaching, maybe you wasn't walking with God and you knew better, but the truth of the matter is, you may be rocking back and forth and you're crying out, preacher, I don't know if I can make it. Hey, let me tell you something. I believe God. Hey, be a good cheer. We're going to go ahead and make it. There's not going to be a life lost on this ship, Paul said. I believe God. It was not long after this warning, of course, Paul took over the ship. 14 days. 14 days was the storm. The waves beating. The toss to and fro. I don't know about you, but I get seasick. I do. Remember when I was a kid, we went to New York City. Our family went to New York City. And someone had the bright idea to go ahead and go along. I remember this. I was like 16, 17 years old. Go along the harbor on a boat. Kind of chilly day. And, you know, on the harbor, you get to see the Statue of Liberty and all that. But I remember just standing there on the edge. I don't know if my parents remember, but I was white as a goat. I mean, I don't think at that time I tossed my cookies, all right? I don't think I did that, but I was white. I was like, let's get this trip over with. You know, now imagine 14 days of that. I mean, imagine 14 days of that. The rocking back and forth. Maybe the storm or the battle that you're going through. You know what? It's gone on for days and days and days. And you wonder, is there ever going to be any light? You wonder if there's ever going to be any safety. You wonder if there's ever going to be a way out of this. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me exhort you this morning. Be of good cheer because I believe God and he's going to go ahead and get you through it. Maybe you went ahead and you didn't listen to the cries of the preacher. You didn't listen to the cries of the Holy Spirit. Say, don't do that. Don't go down this road. You're going to blow it if you go down this road. You don't want to go this direction. Maybe you didn't go ahead and hear the cries. But if you're saved this morning, hey, let me tell you something. You're going to go ahead and get through it. The 276 souls on this ship as they were rocking back and forth. And let me tell you something. Paul got up with adamancy and said, everything's going to be all right. There's not going to be a life hurt on this ship. I can see the fearful people wondering if they're going to live. Maybe like some of you here today, you're just wondering if I'm going to make it another day financially, if I'm going to just make it, period. You just don't know past weeks. And I can see maybe some fearfulness in your eyes. Wondering if you're ever going to go ahead and reach your family and friends. I can see the people on the ship there. Man, we're supposed to go ahead and go to Italy, and we got family there waiting for us, and probably they're wondering, am I ever going to see my family? Am I ever going to go ahead and see my friends? But the man of God said, I believe God. You know, he said, I can't guarantee what's going to happen to the ship. Truth of the matter is, the ship's probably not going to make it. But I guarantee you not a soul will be lost on this ship. There's going to be no harm. And of course, when they got to a point here, of course, the ship was getting shipwrecked, falling into a place where two seas met and the ship ran aground. Verse 41, and four pirates stuck fast and remained, and people just had to literally commit themselves, just jump in to the cold, icy waters. I could see Paul, you know what, Paul, I believe when he went ahead and stood up in the midst of them, I believe at that time he took on a huge amount of responsibility. I promise these people they're going to make it. I can see aged Paul when these little boys and girls had to jump into the water. I can see aged Paul when these little, when the moms and dads and maybe the older men and older ladies and the shipmates, everybody had to go ahead and jump into the water. I could see Paul, maybe he had to jump in too, but he was keeping an eye. He kept flapping his old arms and saying, hey, keep flapping your arms. Keep flapping your arms. Hey, you're going to go ahead and make it. Hey, if you can swim, swim. If you can swim, go ahead and swim to shore. But you know what? Just keep flapping your arms. And the Bible says in verse number 44, and the rest, those that could swim, go ahead and swim, and the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. This isn't a piece of that ship this morning, but let me tell you something. No matter what you're going through, you might be going through a wavy period right now. You may be going through a tough time right now, but I'm telling you, as your pastor, I love you, and I appreciate you. I want you to make it. I want God's blessings upon your life. And if you're in the icy sea of life because of not taking heed to some certain things, because of sin or whatever, hey, I plead with you. I'm out there. I'll go ahead and do everything I can to get you a broken piece. I'll find you a board. Hey, you get a hold of the board and grab it and swim for dear life and get to land. You may be going through it this morning, but I plead with you, don't quit on God. I plead with you, don't go ahead and turn your back on God. Everything will be all right. It will come to pass, but you just need to go ahead and trust God at his word. I believe God, and you may think, I'm not going to make it tomorrow. I'm not going to make it today. Hey, a preacher says, hey, grab a piece of broken board and make it to land. Make it to land. You've heard the preaching. You know what the Bible says about sin. Maybe you're here today and you're saved. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but sin has just wrapped you up. And let me tell you this. There's no coincidence. If you're here this morning and sin has wrapped you up, there's no coincidence that you're here. I believe that with all my heart, soul, and might. You know, there might be a reason you're here this morning because of some, you're just wrapped up in sin and heartache or whatever it may be. And you just don't know, you know, something told you this morning. Maybe the Holy Spirit told you, hey, why don't you go down to church this morning? Why don't you go down to church? Hey, you know what? There I can go ahead and help you. Why don't you go down to church this morning? And it might be this morning you're out in the sea of life. You're trying to stay above water. You're trying to keep going. You're flapping your arms and you're tired. You say, Pastor, I just can't keep it. I just can't keep my head above water. Hey, but your preacher says, I think there's a broken piece of chair over there. I think there's a broken board over there. Hey, let me go ahead and help you get it. Hey, you know what my job is? I look at it as my job. Hey, if you're struggling, I'll do everything I can to go ahead and pray with you. I'll counsel you, and I'll do everything I can to go ahead and give you a piece of broken board so you can make it. So you can make it. Grab a broken piece. The rest, some on boards, those that couldn't swim, and some on broken pieces. Some on broken pieces. Let me give you a couple thoughts here. Number one, take heed of the warning before departing from port. You know, that's the problems that we kind of have. You know, a lot of the problems that we fall into oftentimes can come right down to us not listening. My child goes ahead and does wrong, perhaps, and they often do. Okay, my child goes ahead and does wrong, and they know the rules. They have heard the rules, okay? They've gone ahead and heard it. They know it. And finally, when they go ahead and break that rule, obviously, they didn't heed the warning. If you break the rule, you know what? Okay, go to your room. Dad will be up in a while. They never like that. They never like that. The truth of the matter is, as a Christian, God has given us a basic instruction before leaving earth right here, the Bible. As a Christian, we ought to be into this word of God right here. was talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning, and the truth of the matter is one reason why I believe that so many Christians who have grown up in church, they know the Word of God, they made a profession of faith somewhere along the way. But from time to time, the old smutty-faced devil gets in your face because you've withdrawn from God. You've withdrawn from reading your Bible as a Christian. You've withdrawn from preaching. Sometimes you wonder, man, am I saved? And a lot of it comes right down to us not being accountable to God every single day. A lot of the doubt that we have, bottom line, comes right down to us not being accountable and walking with God every day. I took a group, a big group to youth conference a couple years ago. Fine teenagers. And as a youth pastor, I did everything I could to zoom in to some of their problems of life. They went to youth conference, and it's a big preaching conference out in Indiana, just a real blessing, and these teenagers just loved it every year. And several of my, I had like 30 teenagers, and about 10 of my regular teenagers, they had doubt. The preacher was up there preaching and on salvation, and they had doubt. They had doubt whether they were going to heaven. These were kids that went to church. These were kids that had mom and dad working in church, teaching Sunday school class. I had about 8 or 10 of them go forward for salvation. Now listen, when I went ahead and I'd take them down front, and some of my workers would take them down front, we'd go ahead and give them the assurance. They know what they did when they did it as a kid or whenever. But somewhere along the way, they didn't keep listening to the warning of the preacher. Somewhere along the way, they kind of decided, hey, they're going to get out on their own little path here just for a little while. And probably they were saved. We don't take that for granted, by the way. But the truth of the matter is, we went ahead and we'd go ahead and lead them to Christ. And most of them kids on the way home from youth conference say, you know, Pastor Weeks, I went ahead, I've been saved. But you know what? Ten of these kids, they went ahead and said, but I've just gone ahead and been faking it. I've just been faking it. I made a profession of faith, and I know when Jesus came in, but I needed that assurance. And Pastor Weeks, from this day forward, I'm not going to fake it anymore. What they did was they would go ahead and become numb to the preaching. What they did was they would go ahead and become numb to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. What they do is they go ahead and become numb to the reading, a daily Bible reading of for themselves, a walk with God, a daily walk with God. And so doing, they launch out and kind of do their own thing and start listening to their own music and just doing different things that they know that shouldn't be there. And then they wonder, why? You know, and then the devil, when he sees you backslidden, he comes to you and says, well, you used to do that. You used to read your Bible. You know, you don't read your Bible. You're not saved. That's a lie of the devil. If you've been saved, if you've gone ahead and you know of a time where you've kneeled down, you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, you meant that sincerely. You want nobody can take that away. But what I'm trying to get at this morning is, why do we get in some of the pickles that we get? Why do we get into some of the storms of life? Why do we fail to take heed to the warning before departing from the port? You know, I look at what we do this morning, you know, and I don't claim to be that good at it, but the truth of the matter is, I look at what we do this morning, and I'm warning you. You know, preaching is a warning. Taking the Word of God and taking its truths and just conveying them the very best way, I look at it as a warning so that you may go out. And when you struggle, and when you have a hard time, you know, you look back and say, man, I should have gone ahead and listened to the preacher. The preacher said it time and time again. I should have gone ahead and listened. But you get this attitude of, I'm going to quit. It's not worth it anymore, Pastor. God doesn't want to use me. Yes, He does want to use you. And you're there flapping your arms in this sea of storm of life. And I plead with you, grab a broken piece. Stay above board and get to shore. And when you get to shore after your battle, and when you get to shore after you confess your sin that put you there, when you get to shore, hey, you know what? Come to me. I'll go ahead and I'll do my very best to lead you and guide you, and I'll pray with you. I'll do everything I can to go ahead and do my part so that you can make it. I know the motto of my ministry is basically to people is, you can make it. All I ever want, you know, and I've said it time and time again, you'll hear it 100 times more, but I just want people to make it. Somebody says, Pastor, why do you preach this way? It's so hard. So, you know why? Because I love you and I want you to make it. I don't want you to drown. I don't want you to, because you feel like you failed and maybe you shouldn't have been in this storm because of sin. But the truth of the matter is, I'm pleading with you. If you're there today, grab a broken piece. Grab a broken piece and swim to shore. If you don't take heed, kind of mentioned this, don't feel that you failed. God still loves you. He wants you to make it, and he can still use you. You say, nah, Pastor, no. Pastor, you know, you don't understand. I've been saved. I know all that, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? You don't understand the path that I've tried. God can't. Yes, he does. He can use you. He wants to use you. He wants to go ahead and if you allow him, he wants to go ahead and make you and mold you to be the kind of Christian he wants you to be. You know, if we would just go ahead and get this attitude that it's all about me and point our attitude to it's all about him, we'd be better off. It's not what we want. You know, you're saved. You belong to Jesus. You know, it's what he wants. It's where he wants you to go. It's where he wants you to be. And we need to go ahead. And if you failed this morning and you feel like that God can't use you, you know what? Don't let the devil go ahead and lie to you. You go ahead and say, hey, I'm going to go ahead. The preacher says, grab a broken piece. And I'm going to grab a broken piece. And I'm going to move forward. And I'm going to get to shore. And I'm going to get bandaged up at shore. And I'm going to go ahead and start serving. I'm going to go ahead and get busy for God. So if you don't take heed, don't feel you failed. God loves you. And then number three, and I'm ready to land here in just a moment. If life's well, and there are some that life's well, we plead with you, just keep listening. Keep listening to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart and saying, hey, Sean, don't go that way. No. Go here. Keep listening to the Word of God speak to you as the Holy Spirit speaks. Keep listening to the preaching. Keep listening. You know, even as a preacher, I listen to preaching all the time. Always. I need it. God knows I need it. I have several tapes of Brother Howell's and CDs and stuff. I just go ahead. I listen to the preaching all the time. Listen. If life's well, things are going pretty good. Keep listening. Keep listening to the warning that's proclaimed week after week behind this pulpit. But you need to keep watching for them clouds. Unfortunately, when life is going well, unfortunately, there'll be a time when it won't be so good. I wish it was. I wish I could say every single day as a Christian would be just super duper. Listen, it is super duper based on the fact I'm going to heaven. But you know what? There are times I say, oh, God, what are you doing? Lord Jesus, what are you doing? You know, life's well, but let me just say, hey, be aware of the clouds that may be coming, kind of funneling through, coming your way. And by the way, when it does come your way, don't go ahead and start, God, it's coming. Don't do that. No. It may be that some of them clouds and battles and trials that come your way, it may be that God wants to test you. It may be that God wants to express his love to you in a different way. Don't go ahead and push away some of the tests and trials. I know none of us want tests and trials, but you know what? If you go ahead and take the tests and trials that you go through, and you go ahead and you allow God to lead you through it and give you the victory, you know what? You can turn around when them storm clouds do come. And you better be able to go ahead and help somebody that will go through it down the road. When cancer came into my house, and I talk about it, it's freely free. We talk about it. We had breast cancer in our house a year or so ago. Some of you don't know, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? We look at cancer as a ministry. You know, I have seen more people saved after cancer, after my wife was diagnosed and different things, and now she's cancer-free, just to let you know. But the truth of the matter is, I have seen several cancer patients saved since cancer became a part of our life than before it came. You know why? Because you look at it whole different. It's totally different. I look at cancer, and it didn't apply to, but it applied to our household and to my wife. So it was real close to us, obviously. But let me tell you something. My wife and I, we look at cancer differently. A whole lot different. When I hear somebody, I don't care. It could be some popular dude or dudette on TV. But if I hear somebody that was diagnosed with cancer, you know what? Even though they may be living like the devil and so forth, I don't care who it is. But my heart goes out to them, boy. Because I know what he or she's going to go through. I know what he or she's going to go through. Hey, listen. If life's well, you just keep listening to the warnings. Stay in church. Stay reading the Bible. Stay walking with God. Watch for the clouds that come. Yeah, they're going to come from time to time. But don't leave port until it is right time. Hey, you know what their mistake was? They failed to listen to the man of God. And you know what? All the havoc that they went through, all the danger that they went through, wouldn't have happened if they'd just gone ahead and believed the man of God over whatever else, somebody else. Hey, Paul, listen, he knew something was up. And he said, people, listen. This isn't a safe time to do this. But you know what? They set sail anyways. They went on anyways. And you know what? I just like the courage of the Apostle Paul getting up and said, you know what? Everything's going to be all right. What are you going through this morning? I don't know what it is. I mean, you and God do. But what are you going through this morning? And you're thinking, you know, I don't think I can go ahead and stay alive in this storm, preacher. Yes, you can. May I say, as your pastor, be of good cheer. I believe God is going to go ahead and pull you through. It's going to take effort on your part and prayer on a heap of others that wants to help you through it. But you just keep on going. And you grab a broken piece for survival. The Bible says, because they listened to Paul. The Bible says, I believe Paul was, I kind of think that maybe Paul was out there flailing and just trying to find any little piece to help someone that didn't have a piece. I think maybe he was. Because he took on the responsibility that every soul, 276, was going to make it. I believe he wasn't looking out for himself and say, okay, grab whatever you can. I'll meet you at a church. No. I believe Paul might have been personally. It's just my hunch, whatever. But I think he might have been one of the last ones to land. I think maybe he wanted to make sure that everybody got to land. You know what, church? I want to make sure if you're here tonight, this morning, I want to make sure you make it to land. I'll do whatever I can to help you. I'll go ahead and I'll get you a broken piece. If I can get a raft, which would be a whole lot more comfortable through your storm, I'll do it. But the truth of the matter is, I want you to make it. Paul said, I want you to make it, 276 people. I want you to make it. And you may not be able to swim. You may not be able to go ahead and have the strength, but you know what? Find a piece of board. And guess what? They all escaped to land. What are you going through this morning? If you're going through it, you feel like you're going to quit, I charge you. Grab a piece of board. Get it. And swim, flap them legs, and get to shore. Maybe here today you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I'd like to know. I don't know for sure that if I was to die today, I'd go to glory, go to heaven, be with Jesus. You know, God sent his son Jesus so that we could have eternal life. God wants to give you the gift of eternal life, and all you have to do is simply receive it. There's no rules there. Well, you need to do this, you need to know. That's a bunch of hogwash. The truth of the matter is Jesus died willingly, and if you're unsaved, you do not know for sure you're on your way to heaven this morning, I plead with you, why don't you have that relationship with Jesus? You know, the Bible's very clear that if we die in our sin without Jesus, you know, the Bible's very clear that hell would be our eternal destiny. There is no in between. There's heaven, which is where God wants us to be. But if we choose on this side of heaven, in our life here, to reject Christ and reject his salvation, the Bible says, and death and hell, Revelation 20:14, were cast in the lake of fire. I'm not trying to scare you, but that's Bible. You know what? Why are you preaching this past week? Because I want you to make it. That first step to making it is getting saved. That first step to making it is gonna you coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Then you build that relationship with Jesus as you get saved. And yes, through the storms of life, you're going to have them. But what I'm trying to say here tonight, this morning, is if you're not saved, why don't you do so this morning? You know, I won't embarrass you. After a while, when the invitation starts, I'm going to stand right down here in front of my pulpit. You say, Pastor Weeks, I don't know for sure I'm saved. And I would urge you, don't worry about people around you. Don't worry about what people think. You know, the truth of the matter is our church is such a spirit that when people get saved, we amen and get excited about it. Amen. But don't you sit here lost and leave these doors lost this morning without knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. If you're like that this morning, I would plead with you. You come to me. I'll stand right down here after a while. You shake my hand and say, Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I want to know. And I'll have one of my soul winners, one of my men, if you're a man, one of my ladies, if you're a lady, go ahead and show you from the Bible how you can be saved so you can walk in newness of life. But if you're going through, you're saved and you're going through it. You feel, Preacher, you say it a lot, you know, but you're going through it. Grab a piece of board and get to land. And make it. Now I'll be your cheerleader. Say, come on, let's do it. You're flailing in the storm. Come on, let's do it. Grab that boat, swim, man, get there. I'll stand there and I'll cheer you on. I'll help you any way I can. But don't quit. Don't go ahead and say this isn't worth it and let go of the survival tool that you need. Just hold on and get to land. When you get to land and you're beat up a little bit, let me help you. Let our deacons help you. Let a godly individual, godly authority come and help you and pray with you and try to sew you up a little bit so that you can go ahead and keep surviving for Jesus so that you can make it. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your book and I thank you for this truth and some on broken pieces. No doubt there were some here today, they're strong enough that when the storms come, they can swim and they get to land and they're fine. But there are some that are just too weak and they're tired of the battle. They're tired of the beating of the waves upon their life. I pray, dear God, that this morning that they'll go ahead and just grab a piece of board and make it and swim with their feet and hold on to that board for dear life and make it to land. I pray, Lord, that if there's some soul here today, they don't know exactly what I mean by making it to land and grabbing a broken piece simply because they don't know for sure they're saved. And their first step of survival in the Christian life, okay, is to be saved. I pray, dear God, that no one would leave this place lost. I pray, Lord, that they'll come. No one will leave this place lost and they'll come to the saving knowledge and allow you to give them the gift of eternal life. I pray, God, that you'd bless. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today, you say, Preacher,